Drive instructor, is he? That's what I find.
Eamon O'Neill, thank you very much indeed for that. It's now just coming up to 8 minutes. 8 minutes to nine. Sorry, I went off mic there. Now, when do marks on a rock stop being vandalism and become part of the history of a place, or even treasured and precious historic artefacts? It's just a question of time. Those issues were brought into sharp focus this week as archaeologists uncovered, then reburied, the Cochno Stone. It's a slab of rock on the outskirts of Glasgow, and it's covered with a mixture of Neolithic carvings and much more modern graffiti. Our reporter Hugh Williams went to cover the dig, and of course he took along his reporter's notebook.
Is it interesting because people have written their names on it? You could hear the confusion in the child's voice as she tried to understand why her dad had brought her to see a giant slab of sandstone at a woodland park near Faithley in Clydebank on the outskirts of Glasgow. And you could hear the patience in his voice as he tried to explain that the graffiti dated from Victorian times up to the mid-1960s, but that what really was interesting were the deep, gouged-out marks surrounded by concentric circles that cover much of the rock, the so-called cup and ring marks that date back some 5,000 years to the Bronze Age. The graffiti, though, was the reason the Cochno Stone, as it's known, had been buried in 1965 to protect it. The Ministry of Works and local landowners couldn't agree on what should be done to protect the monument, which has been described as one of the most important collections of Neolithic carving in Europe. So the rock and everything inscribed on it, both ancient and modern, has been hidden for the past 50 years. Until a couple of weeks ago, when student archaeologists from the University of Glasgow and their lecturer Dr. Kenneth Brophy excavated it. It's been scanned and digitally recorded, so all that data should teach us more about the stone and, for the first time, give us a really accurate record of what's on it. But it won't tell us why Bronze Age people carved their cup and ring marks onto the rock. There are dozens and dozens of theories. Perhaps they depict a stone or a raindrop falling into water and the ripples that spread out across the surface after the moment of impact. Maybe they're a record of hunting grounds. Some have suggested they've got something to do with fertility. Stevie, who grew up in Faithley and who was there every day watching the archaeologists at work, told me one theory is that the markings are a map of the night sky. Another is that they've got something to do with blood, either the blood in the body or channels for blood to run off after animal sacrifice. But Stevie told me, in a memorable phrase, "I think the truth lies somewhere between the stars and the blood." And to go back to that graffiti again, it is possible that the Neolithic marks have got much more in common with those carefully scratched modern names than we might imagine, that all the carvings from Neolithic times up to the mid-1960s amount to a defiant human declaration that we were here, that for thousands of years people have chosen this place literally to leave their mark in the landscape. Dr. Brophy told me they'd be working through the most recent names and dates to try and track down the people who'd left them. And he's asking those people to come forward to explain why they'd visited the site and why they'd decided to leave a permanent record there. The stone has been uncovered while the excavations were going on, and though the archaeologists were working there during the week, it was left unguarded, unattended, overnight and at weekends. But it seems only one person took the chance, for the first time in five decades, to add new marks to the Cochno Stone. Dr. Kenneth Brophy told me he'd found one set of initials, only one, that seemed to have been newly added. But now those initials and all the other carvings have been buried. Once the photographic and laser surveys were completed, the claggy, clayey topsoil that had been so carefully lifted was replaced on the rock so the diggers could come back in to restore the artificial mound which has protected it for so long. It may be possible to use the scanned records to create a life-size replica of the rock to put somewhere in the landscape. They could also be used to 3D print fantastically accurate miniature fridge magnets, or to make any size in between. But none of that answers the awkward, persistent questions about who the rock and its carvings belong to, and who gets to decide what should happen to it. Local people, archaeologists and academics, or who? And it won't help us be sure about what the Bronze Age markings mean. Perhaps we'll never know. Stevie from Faithley laughed as he said, "They're just marks on a rock. That's all they are, marks on a rock." Did that mean he was talking them down, didn't really care about them? I asked. "Oh, no," he said. "But," he said, "he was setting them free. Don't know is a wonderful place to be," he said.
Hugh Williams there with his reporter's notebook.
Now, leaders of countries along the West Balkan route are meeting today for a summit on refugees at the invitation of the Austrian Chancellor Christian Kern.